Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America N.A., member FDIC.
Welcome to another episode of the Conversations Brewing Podcast with your hosts, Divya and Ravisha, two coffee-loving best friends who dive into weekly conversations on wellness, culture, and growing into your authentic self.
As two healthcare professionals, children of immigrants, and humans always striving to learn more, they bring their unique complexities of their wellness journeys into this podcast space by sharing their stories and featuring other like-minded experts in the field.
Always with a cup of coffee in hand, humor, and never-ending authenticity, dive in with the two of them as they brew the kind of conversations that we don't have enough of, but that matter the most.
I admit, like, sometimes I do have, like, that people-pleasing, like, wanting to make everyone around me happy, that, like, I'm trying to work more on, like, disassociating from that, because, like, I shouldn't, like, seek validation from others and find it within more of myself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's really important to be seeking that within yourself, because it also comes with going against maybe what are some of the norms that what we grew up with, is that we are seeking approval on other people. So starting to seek it within yourself.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Conversations Brewing. Divya and I are really excited today to talk about a topic that, again, we came across Instagram, like we usually do with a lot of our podcast topics. I want to give a quick shout out to the person that made this post. It's at imani.intouch, and she basically talked about the good girl turning into a good woman, quote unquote. Mm-hmm. And so we're just going to talk a little bit about that today and like what that post meant for us and a lot of the things that Imani talked about in that post.
Yeah, it was a really inspirational post, because I think this is something that so many of us work through on our own as we go from being, I guess, a girl into an adult woman, because the expectations of what it is to be a good girl leads to so many habits that may not be very helpful as an adult. And so it's something that Ravisha and I have definitely struggled a lot with. So it's really nice that we came across it. I just love those kind of Instagram posts that you look at and you're like, damn, that's me. You know what I mean? And it's just like, I don't know. It's just a way to connect to the world that we're not alone in our struggles. But definitely when I saw this post, I like sent it to Ravisha and was like, oh my God, this has to be a podcast.
I was scrolling through like the slides of the post, and I like with each slide, I was like, yes, that like totally resonates. Mm-hmm. I totally understand this. And like when you read something like that, or like come across something like that randomly too, like, I don't know, you get a feeling within yourself, like, oh, it's like so crazy how similar everyone can think, or like mm-hmm. there's so many things that you might be thinking within yourself and you're wondering like, do other people feel this way? And so, yeah, that's why we're really excited to talk about this today.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, another thing that we want to touch base on is that we did not have an episode last week, so we appreciate people's patience. It was Diwali, and also our friend Emily had got married, so we were both in Arizona for her wedding. And honestly, just the older we get, travel just knocks us out. The both of us were just taking naps the entire week. We're so tired, and you know, our mental and physical and emotional energy, just we want to always show up fully at this podcast space. So it was really hard to be able to do that this past week. So we appreciate people being patient with it.
Yeah, thank you guys for that. We honestly, first and foremost, we always check in with each other to make sure that, you know, we're not like forcing to record an episode. We want to record because, you know, we feel like we're ready to record. We're well rested. We, you know, are prepared. And so, and we like to be honest with our listeners as well. Like usually like there are times when like we come up with a topic the day of recording, or like a topic is already scheduled to record about. So like sometimes it's, you know, things don't work out and all that, but yeah, we just want to be as transparent as possible, about, you know, how we record, our recording styles and all of that.
Yeah, because I think that at least for me, when I used to listen to podcasts, I would be like, oh my God, these people have their stuff together. And it just, I think we can fantasize a lot about the lives people have and the system they have behind the things they do. So even at first, I felt kind of vulnerable sharing with our listeners that, like, at times we don't have our crap together, because I mean, who does? But yeah. I was thinking, like, oh my gosh, would people devalue this podcast? Would they think that we're not, you know, committed? Or I just had all these limiting thoughts about it. And I am appreciative. And I think that it's really good that we do that, because we're just being real about it. And honestly, I think a lot of people probably will resonate, but I just think the world we need to do that more. So hopefully us saying that can inspire you to be a little more kind to yourself, because we definitely need practice with it.
Don't get us wrong. Like, we always like in the beginning, I felt like we felt bad, or like felt like we weren't like committed enough, because mm-hmm. you know, we weren't like, you know, it was a lot for us to learn, and now for us it's like we've got a better grasp on it. But like, for sure in the beginning I felt like we just were like totally doubting ourselves constantly and unsure if we're doing things right.
Well, I'm honestly proud of us, because now I realize that, so it's October 28th when we're recording this, and it's been like, we did our podcast, I guess, like photo shoot the beginning of April. So it's been 6+ months that we've been really like into it. And we came up with the name and everything in March, and we started talking about it, I mean, earlier the year, but it's like, it's been like 10 months. Like, I mean, we'd start talking about it in January. We said this year is the year we're going to do the podcast. So it's been like 10 months of just being committed to having this be our thing. So I'm like, whoa.
Wow. I didn't even think about it like that.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I guess there's our rant there.
There's our TED Talk. Hope you enjoyed it.
Yeah. I guess now getting into our topic for today.
Yeah. So today we're talking about the good girl, and just the concept of, I have it on air quotes, the quote, like, quote unquote good girl. And that's what all of us were really like socialized to be, especially women, right? Like the giver, the people pleaser, the one that is doing good, that is not causing any problems, not ruffling any feathers. And so that is something that definitely society reinforces us to be. And so we're talking about the topic of that and how it can impact our adult relationships, our adult sense of self. And Ravisha and I are going to share a few more examples about how both of us resonate with this. So Ravisha, when I sent you that Instagram post about the good girl, I know you said that it really resonated with you, but what else was coming up for you?
I think like the first thing, like a couple first things that I read was like, like the people pleasing and exchanging for like approval and validation. That was like kind of the first things I saw. And I was like, wow, yes. And like how that kind of starts from our childhood, like, you know, like, and it's like, we're just instilled to like, you know, always, again, in air quotes, like behave well, or like, you know, not ask for too much, and you know, don't like not getting in the way of things, like especially when like maybe your parents are like, you know, like you're going into, it's like maybe not at home, but more in like social settings, like they're telling you this is the way to behave. And because a lot of the times, like, our, you know, parents are parents and they want their children to behave. But like when it maybe was constantly told to you that like you have to act a certain way, you think, oh, if I behave well, then like, you know, my parents will validate that behavior.
Totally.
And like, cause it's like, you know, it's like reinforcing that. So, and I think more importantly, what happens is though, you take that into your adulthood and into your, like in those relationships, and you start thinking like, okay, let me be the people pleaser, like, you know, let me do things like for validation. Mm-hmm. And that is where like you start to lose that authenticity with yourself.
Yeah, that's like really where our sense of self starts to go. I guess it starts to blur out like into adulthood, because that sense of self of what was reinforced as a kid, like that just doesn't work. You get stepped all over. You become a doormat, which I think so many of us have, and that's why we struggle to find our voice. Because if you think about it, like there's always that idea, right? Like the woman who speaks up is like a bitch, or you know, is the one who is outspoken, is like dramatic, right? They're not like, there, it's not that we're assertive or can recognize their needs. It's always just like a bad thing. And so we're really scared of being that, but it's not like that has to be our identity. Just because society might look at it that way, we can create our own identity, which is really hard. Like I struggle with that all the time.
Divya, like when you first saw this post, like, what were your thoughts? Like, when you saw, I feel like I kind of know what your thoughts were, but I want you to like tell our listeners because I just like know you so well.
Yeah, I just think for me, that idea of the good girl is really ingrained. And it's funny because that's such a core theme in my own personal therapy, is around being quote unquote good and like doing what everyone wants me to do, right? To like make people feel comfortable, my family, my friends, everyone around me, in the way that I just like think I mold myself a lot to what other people want to be good and make them comfortable. And I've really been in this last year trying to be on this journey of like, okay, these are the needs I have. This is what I want to do with my life. This is when I want to do things. And yeah, so it really resonated with me, I think, because it's been something I work on a lot. And it's especially like verbatim, those words too. I'm like the good one. Like why, like when I think about my motivations for things sometimes, or why I am maybe going against my values or my needs, it's always to be good, to be perceived as good from other people. So yeah, that really hits super deep, because you just end up doing that on autopilot if you don't recognize that it's coming up. And I'm currently, and have been in the process of trying to be a quote unquote good woman, but I definitely did a lot of what the good girl wants. And it just definitely cost me my well-being a lot, which is why, I mean, trying to shift, but it's a process.
Yeah. And I'm totally on the same stance with you there. Like, I think it's funny because I even have discussed this in therapy as well. It's like, I've done all, you know, the, again, quote unquote, good things, like, you know, in terms of like how, like behavior wise and stuff, yeah, like with my parents. And then it's now come into now being the quote unquote good woman, where yeah, like there's, I don't know a lot of my needs and wants in relationships with friends, like with work relationships, like actual relationships. And that's what I'm like been trying to learn more of myself for, because I think the people pleasing and the putting everyone's wants before mine has really come in the way of, yeah, honestly, my personality sometimes.
Yeah. And being able to even be in touch with yourself, because when we're putting other people's needs in front of ours, it also like implicitly tells us that our needs don't matter. So we're not going to pay attention to our needs because we, yeah, feel that they're not important.
Yeah. And it's funny because I feel like when you and I like have discussions and like maybe we're talking about certain situations, like we're reminding each other to put, you know, our needs in front and, yeah, not others. And like, it's like, we're trying to constantly remind each other to do that, but it's hard for us within ourselves to do that. And like, mm-hmm, that's what we're working on.
Exactly. Because as for the listeners who had heard our Enneagram episode, Ravish and I are both the two wing threes, which are like the empaths. I mean, we're wing with an achiever. So that's a whole nother podcast episode about our perfectionism. But in terms of empathy, that definitely comes in. And I don't know if you've ever had this thought, but I sometimes wonder, I'm like, am I? I do know I am an empath, just because you can't force yourself to feel a certain way. But sometimes I'm like, did I become an empath because I was socialized to be an empath? Or like, am I literally actually an empath? I think that I keep coming back to, I think that I am one, because why I can't be like a therapist and like force myself to be an empath. But at the same time, some things I wonder, these behaviors, like, is this really me? Is this part of my personality? Or is this something that I've just been socialized to do, that it's just ingrained for me to think and that it's me?
I'm so glad you brought this up. And like, because that is such a good question to ask. And I, as I was writing, like our outline for our show, I had that thought and I was like, so did social stuff around me make me an empath, or was I like kind of born with this person? Like, I don't know. It made me really question a lot of things, I'm not going to lie. Yeah. Because I'm like, well, like, am I naturally not supposed to be an empath then? Like, I don't know. But then like, you start like debating this whole thing about personality, and mm-hmm, that goes down through a whole nother rabbit hole, which we don't need to get into today. But I agree. Like, I think sometimes like when we know that we're empaths, we like naturally are like, you know, carrying forward those behaviors. But then, mm-hmm, it's like, has the society stuff made us be that way though? Like, but then exactly, if you look at your friends, it's like, oh, but they're not exactly empaths. So, mm-hmm, I don't know.
Yeah. What are some things that when we talk about like, was our like our socialization and what happened to us in terms of our childhood homes impact how we are in our personality. I'm curious about like what for you, what are some common things maybe you heard growing up that maybe led you to being an empath? Like if it is that, okay, like it shaped you, what are some things that were expected of you or maybe things that were told to you that you think you internalized that has made you into like an empath?
I think my, like a lot of, like my first thought goes to like thinking about how like I was told to like not be dramatic about things.
Yeah.
Like that I like, you know, like that things like, you know, maybe if I felt upset about something, like as a kid, not that my parents would downplay it, but they were like, there's bigger problems in the world. Mm-hmm. And like, I just, I think like, that's what I like really think about is like, I was like, oh, okay, you're right. Like, I think that's how that has shaped me because I always, I think about like others' feelings and problems way before myself.
Mm. Yeah. Well, it has you inevitably just putting your needs last because then it's like, oh, well, my problems aren't that big of a deal. They don't really matter.
Yeah. And I mean, I'm not going to lie. I'm also like a middle child and I have two sisters. And like, I think that also has a lot to do with that as well. But like, yeah, I would say like that, like that's where that came from.
Yeah. Well, and I think that it also comes with this thing of like, why is that a bad thing that we state that something matters to us? Like, even for me, I feel bad stating that, oh, I feel this way when it shouldn't be bad because we can state our feelings without monopolizing. Like, I think that there's this thing with, and this is another, so I'm going to just keep this short because I'm not, this is a different podcast episode, but that we think that like stating our needs means that we have to monopolize a conversation or make everything about us. Like you can state your needs and state your feelings without taking over everything and like stepping over everyone else's feelings and not having them exist. It's almost like it's all one way or all the other way. And I don't know how as a society we can start to make it be in like integrating both.
I definitely agree. Cause I think we're taught or like, you know, the way we think it's like, oh, if I state that, like, if you use an I statement and you're like, I need this, we think, okay, then everyone's going to make it all about that thing that I said that I want. But it doesn't have to be like, basically like that's all, like that's it. That's all like that needs to happen.
Exactly. It's just like,
you should feel comfortable to state it thinking that like there, it doesn't have to be all about that.
Yeah. And it just being just another statement that you make. It just like, why can't we, and I'm not saying like, oh, our feeling statement should be the same as like the sky is blue, like that, like, yes, it has more emotional charge, but I think we almost like make it too big of a deal sometimes when we could just like state our needs.
Yeah. Cause I don't think, we're comfortable enough with that. And so I think it just comes with a whole different aspect of like how we expect things to like portray out in conversations.
Yeah. Yeah. Because like those kind of phrases have you end up kind of like shrinking yourself into being smaller than you can be. And I wonder how many of us would be like, we'd be able to, like, what would we be like if we felt more comfortable to take up space? That's something we're all learning now, but like, how would we have turned out if we felt comfortable taking space, like personality wise? I think about that a lot.
Yeah. That's a good thought. Like, what do you think? Like when you, like,
what do I think with that? I think that if I was able to take up space earlier, I am feeling more confident in my ability to take up space now, but that's definitely come with a lot of work. But I don't know. I think that I would have grown into myself a little bit more, but I also think that environment matters so much and you have to be in environments that are supportive and healthy for you to take up space. Right? Like they're not going to bring you down or not going to say like, kind of like what we're talking about, right? Like, oh, if you're dramatic or this or that, it's hard to take up space in those kind of environments. So I think that definitely the timing for me is good in terms of I'm feeling comfortable to take up space now with my current environments and the people that I'm around. But I do wonder, like, would I have grown into myself more? Would I have been more confident? Like, I'm trying to find my confidence now, but what if I was just like confident and felt like really great, right? And felt like a badass or something like of like a few years ago. And it's not like me trying to build it now. I don't know. So I think it would be that. But I also value and I know the importance of environment. So I don't know if I would be able to like make that kind of growth in like before.
Yeah, I agree. Our environment has a lot to do with, you know, the way that like we shape ourselves as well. Like, you know, think about like a college environment or like being in a sorority, how you were versus like me, like I wasn't, like that changes like your personality and the way you interact with others as well.
Totally.
And then like once you move on from college, you know, like then workplace. And so I think that all like, I think it's more of just like in a linear growth.
Yeah.
That's what it is. Like, I know a lot of people say like, oh, your 30s are better than your 20s because of like you become more comfortable with yourself, or like you learn a lot more about yourself in your 20s to make yourself comfortable in your 30s. And like I could see that too as well, right? Because like, yeah, you know, like are we different than the people we were 5 years ago? 100%. Because why? Because like we start to realize that like there's a lot of work that we wanted to do on ourselves, or like ways we thought there's ways that we can better ourselves.
Yeah. And I guess like some of that comes with though us choosing to do that, because that's vulnerable and some people like might not choose to do it.
Yeah. And there's like a lot of cultural things I think that we also wanted to outgrow as well, like expectation wise and just like, you know, I think being South Asian as well, like there's a whole nother slew of expectations that are put on you like growing up, and then you have to figure out like what those expectations you want to actually meet and what you feel like won't serve you.
Yeah. And I think that some of that can be really hard, because that turns into being the good woman, because being the good woman for like you or me right now might not be what we were taught is a good woman. Cause like a good woman in maybe like a South Asian culture, especially with like our parents who had just immigrated, like that looked really different than maybe what we want, which like we have more choice and we have more autonomy. And so that might look different for us.
Yeah. Like, I think the number one thing is to always be like real with yourself. And to be real with yourself, you have to know yourself. And it's funny, which I learned in therapy, is that like we really don't know a lot about ourselves, that like as much as we think we do.
Yeah. A lot of us don't, unless we take that intentional time to really get to know ourselves, because we're always changing too. So I think people are like, oh, I'm so self-aware. People say this phrase, I'm just like, oh, like no one is so self-aware, right? Like we're changing so much, and people are like, I know everything about myself, I'm so self-aware. It's like the person you are when you wake up is different than the person you are when you go to bed. So if you're not curious about yourself constantly, you're not going to keep up with yourself. You have to keep being curious with yourself, because you're always changing. So it's like you can't, and that also just keeps you stuck being like, oh, I know myself so well. Because then you know this past version of yourself and you're growing and changing and you're not even like getting to know that new person. So yeah, I mean, I think there's definitely a difference between like wanting to be being self-aware to know you're changing constantly, or being self-aware and being like, oh, this is just me, like deal with it.
Yeah. And then when you're also labeled as a certain type of person, like say, like, I think Divya, you can resonate with this, because like a lot of people maybe in high school thought you were like very loud, or like, you know, like that was, I feel like, something that was always associated with like you, and like maybe it still is, but in like a different way, right? Like it's not like that's something that's like being loud is something that, like, I don't know, maybe some people thought it was a bad thing like growing up in high school, right? Like just because like you could be heard from a million miles away. But now when I feel like when someone tells you you're loud, they don't mean it in a bad way, they just like are like, oh yeah, like you talk really well, like you talk loud.
Yeah.
And I think the way that you like perceive that has also changed, you know, like since we were in high school to now. And I think it's like, I always thought it was a very positive thing about you, like I'm not gonna lie. Like,
really?
Yeah, like I don't know.
I always said it in like a very like negative way, like, oh, you're so loud and it's so annoying and you just are like so dramatic.
No, but like I never was like, oh my God, I can't hang out with her because she's too loud.
And I mean, I think that some of it was just like, I mean, that's me, right? But at the same time, think that like I recognize that about myself, but also I know I know more about myself on like where to use my voice, like where it's valuable and meaningful. And I don't know, but that's really sweet that you always found it to be a good thing, because I don't know, I feel like not, like I didn't always feel that. So that's really nice. I don't think we've ever had that moment about
I don't think so.
This is so sweet. If you could only see my face, I'm like sitting here with smiling and I'm trying to not get emo, but it's fine. We actually can get emotional on here. That's the point of this.
I'm laughing. This is like typical us behavior where like you'll get emotional about something and I'll just be like laughing at you.
Yeah, she's just like, okay, like this is really great. Like what next topic? Let's go back to the outline.
Wow, we're being really real on here today.
I know, but now that we're talking about that and there's a real time moment, why don't we chat about being a good woman? So we talked about what being a good girl was like and like how we were socialized to be good and kind of just like keep the peace and, you know, be almost like a people pleaser, give, do what we're told. Like we talked about how we think that's impacted us, but what do you think that kind of behavior does to a woman and like their self-concept growing up?
Yeah, I think what it really develops into is chronic anxiety of constantly having to please the people around you and thinking mm-hmm. that like the only way that you can feel good about yourself is through other people validating you and like kind of like lacking that self-confidence that you need to have within yourself. Yeah. And it's more of you like searching for it through other people.
Exactly.
Like, I think even now, like, so, I mean, I will admit, like, sometimes I do have like that people pleasing, like wanting to make everyone around me happy that like, I'm trying to work more on like disassociating from that because like, I shouldn't like seek validation from others and find it within more of myself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's really important to be seeking that within yourself because it also comes with going against maybe what are some of the norms that what we grew up with is that we are seeking approval on other people. So starting to seek it within yourself can be actually really healing.
Yeah. How would you say that you had to kind of figure that out in yourself, Divya, that like people pleasing or like putting others' wants and needs before yours? Like, how do you feel like that affected you?
Definitely a lot. I notice it more in my adult self, how much it affected me. You know, when you're sometimes, when you like are in it, you don't really realize that it's problematic. Yeah. And then when you're reflecting back on it, that you're like, oh, damn, that's a lot. So for me, I honestly think that one of the biggest things with grad school that had me hold a mirror to that, because for anyone who's here that's a therapist, like, you know that going to grad school for being a therapist is like intense with looking back at yourself, because you have to really know all these deep parts of yourself to be a good clinician. And so that really had me think a lot about my motivations and why I was doing things. And so much of it came back to being the good person, like the good girl, the good student, the good friend, whatever. I could name all my roles, but that was coming up a lot. And I think the biggest thing I've struggled with is disappointing other people, but like starting to do that more and sitting with the fact that I'm not going to be good, right? But, and I work with that a lot in therapy, that, you know, you might be viewed as bad. You might be viewed as selfish, you might be viewed as annoying, you might be viewed as inconsiderate. But for me, starting to sit with that and stop trying to convince everyone that I'm not that, because there are just some people that are committed to misunderstanding you and they won't, no matter how hard you try. So I think that really just sitting with myself and allowing myself to disappoint other people, but in the exchange that I know that I'm really being there for myself.
Yeah. And I'm sure like other people hearing you like say that right now can also like really feel that, because like it's hard not to like constantly want to be like liked by everyone, or, you know, when it, I think as a society, we put pressures on being liked, and, mm-hmm. and when you can start accepting that, like, you're not everyone's cup of tea, I think it's more of a weight lifted off your shoulders more than anything. Like, yeah. Sure, like, you know, as long as you know that you're like inner circle, like the people that matter the most to you, you know that, like, yeah, it's a comfortable relationship. Like, it's not like you're like trying to please them. It's like 50-50. Once you know that, you can be comfortable with other people, like maybe that you meet or you come across, like you won't like 100% be liked by them, and that is okay.
Yeah. And like really sitting with the fact that you won't be liked and starting to find peace with it. And also remembering that it's not going to feel good at first. For me, I used to be like, oh my God, this feels so uncomfortable. I can't have people not like me. And I still don't like people not liking me or disappointing people, but just like knowing a short-term versus long-term effect, that short-term it's going to be uncomfortable, but long-term it's going to really help me. That has been helpful, because like that discomfort is not going to last forever. But what will last forever is like continuing these people pleasing trends or whatever. Like that's the thing that'll last forever. So sometimes weighing those options out for me has been helpful, to challenge some of those social constructs.
Yeah. And that's great. Like, I also think sometimes like it makes me feel like disconnected after a while within myself when like I'm just constantly like not being authentic to myself.
Yeah.
And like, you know, we've talked about this in the past, but like maybe like that burnout in yourself, like you're starting to feel that a lot more because you're not being who your true self is.
Exactly.
And it's more of like just like you're doing things for others way more than you're doing things for yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. Because then when you're doing things for others, you're not going to ever fully feel fulfilled, because at the end of the day, like you're not doing it for you. Like we obviously doesn't mean do everything for yourself and nothing for other people, but it has to be about balance. But just the concept of doing things for ourselves isn't really normalized when we're younger, because we're always doing things for some kind of a goal. Like we're doing things to make our parents happier. We're doing things to do well at school, or doing, you know, what our coaches say. We don't really ever have moments where we sit back and think about, well, what do I want? Why am I doing this? So it's this kind of like brand new concept almost we have to learn as adults.
Definitely. Like, I think even when we talk to our parents about it, sometimes they're like shocked about this change of thinking. I mean, like, I will like take my mom into example. Like, you know, she got married, and then like her main job, I felt like, was really to make everyone around her happier. Mm-hmm. And like she loves it. Like, one of her, like, her love language is like acts of service for
others. Like, I was literally gonna be like, is it acts of service?
And like, I'm just like, sometimes I'm like, how do you do this? Like, why do you like constantly serve like everyone around you, all this stuff? But she's like, well, that's what I know, and like that's like, you know, that's socially, that's what she's been like constructed to do. And like, for her, like, she's kind of accepted that, and like, she likes it to some extent. But like, I'm just like, oh, I know that's not me. And like, I can't like do that for everyone around me all the time.
Exactly. Yeah. And also maybe some of that's also just like, you know, being socialized to be the good girl. And I think one thing that I also feel a lot of guilt sometimes with relatives is that I do feel really grateful, and Sahaj from Brown Girl Therapy talks about this a lot, in the way that we have like these resources to be able to kind of heal and like go to therapy and have this self-reflection, whereas our parents might have not had that. Like, at our age, you know, they had just immigrated, and they were kind of just like trying to make a living in a new country, make ends meet, raise kids, like learn about their spouse because they had an arranged marriage. Like, there was so much going on that they didn't have this privilege to be able to slow down and be like, let me understand my values and let me live aligned, like kind of in ways that we can. And I don't mean to say that in a way to make fun of us, but, you know, maybe they are also playing into this good girl narrative, that if we didn't have that kind of time for us, like we do right now, to slow down, we wouldn't be able to break out of that. But maybe they didn't have that privilege, so they're still doing it.
Yeah. And it's unfortunate, because that's how it was. But like, that's why I do sometimes like feel like I take so much of like the resources and the stuff we have now for granted, like, because you just don't realize how much like they didn't have that.
Yeah. Exactly. And that they lived not even knowing how it exists. So I really try to think about, like, even when we're doing this kind of healing and and breaking out of these good girl patterns and becoming, you know, strong, self-sufficient women who know our values, that we're doing it as models for maybe like the generations to come, because it comes with this relearning process, because we have to learn about ourselves to like get out of these kind of behaviors. Otherwise, we're going to just stay stuck.
Yeah, exactly. And so that's why, like, when we talk about relearning, it doesn't mean like change your personality or like change yourself. I think that like that's still like the core within you. Like, but again, like, you go back to your values. But I think it's just being more honest about your wants and needs, and like what you feel like you want more of, or like what you feel like is like what's more serving to you.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Because not everything is going to serve you, and that's okay. And I really like when we can just like take what is serving us but leave what's not. And so maybe some of these quote unquote good girl habits that aren't serving Ravish and I, that we're talking about now, that don't serve us, maybe they serve you in some kind of ways. And that's not something that you want to not partake in. And maybe there are some things that serve us that isn't serving you. So I do really want to remind all of our listeners that this kind of what relearning is, it's a really personal experience. And we're obviously just sharing our own relearning because that's all we can speak to, but that's going to look different for you.
Like our relearning journeys were really different from one another's. And like, I think obviously it still is. And like, and then there's different ways that we're doing that, I think. And like,
exactly.
I think we have the conversation with one another about it often, but like, yeah, Divya's relearning and my relearning is not even remotely the same.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, what are some things that you think for you in your own journey of relearning that's been different than those around you?
I think my biggest focus has been like what I just said, like focusing on my wants and needs. I think that's like the number one thing that I think is like more like is part of my relearning, because like I like never you have been able to ask myself like what I truly wanted.
Yeah. Or,
and it's like from the small things to even like the big things, like what I even want to like eat for a meal. Like, you know, like I'm always just like, oh yeah, whatever everyone wants, it's fine. Like, I don't really care. But then like, I slowly started to realize that like, I should care a little bit more.
Maybe you do care though.
What I want to eat. Yeah. Like I should have more of a say. And so like, it's starting small, but it's like getting bigger and bigger, I would say.
Yeah.
How about you?
I think definitely with the disappointment, like not disappointing people. I like have this like chronic fear of disappointing people.
I know.
Ravisha's like, you do, and like laughing at me, but no, I literally do. And really just needing to do everything for everyone. And definitely also with not caring what people think. So that kind of goes with the disappointing people. That's really been just like my biggest thing, is just like letting people be upset at me, even if that means, you know, disappointing people or hurting people. I also think my other one is taking up space. Like, this is what I'm working on a lot with my therapist. I think that I never wanted to like I always felt like I didn't want to make other people uncomfortable by taking up space. And so a constant thing that Ravisha could actually attest that I probably did this, but I process this a lot in my own work, is like definitely like dumbing myself down in ways so that I would make other people comfortable. And I think the older I've gotten, the more I'm like, you know what? These are my talents. I am smart. I am capable. But I think, so for me to sit with that, like take up space, it's really uncomfortable, and to just like follow my passion. So that's definitely like the two big ones, is taking up space, even if it means making other people uncomfortable, and also just like disappointing people. So that's been what I'm just constantly doing. And some days paralyzes me, but you know, I'm trying.
At least, and again, like, I feel like it's so great for you to share that with us. Like, obviously I already know, but like, you know, with our listeners, because I think that like a lot of the times people are feeling that same way. And like, you know, like, it's not like you're like telling, like, this is like normal conversation to have with your friends, or like, you know, it's, I don't sit there and talk to my friends about like, yeah, I'm out trying to outgrow the good woman in me, you know, like, it's, you just don't really like sit there and talk about that. Like, so I do hope like when someone does listen to this episode in some way that they feel like, yeah, you know, I do, there's a lot that I would like to maybe relearn about myself, or like try to shift some mentalities that I've been having.
Yeah. Because otherwise they might think they're also alone in the process of like, why should I even do this? I mean, I'm the only one going through this. Because so then this is a nice reminder of, no, you're not. And you can do it this way if you want to. Because if you're thinking, if you have these kind of times where you just aren't feeling good about yourself, like you're feeling insecure, you're not feeling confident, or something just doesn't feel like it's aligning, like the way that you're behaving isn't aligning with where you are, it's a moment to slow down. And you can do this process of relearning and reconnecting with yourself, but it does take time and vulnerability. So yeah, I hope that that can kind of encourage people to do that a bit more.
Yeah, I agree. Okay, well,
that's a nice episode.
I know. I feel like
I'm feeling very like reflective right now.
Me too. And honestly, as we were talking, like,
it I love that
felt,
for you.
It kind of almost felt like my own therapy session.
Oh, I'm so glad. Well, I'm glad that was nice and therapeutic for you. So now you technically had two therapy sessions this week.
I guess so. I'm so lucky.
Lucky girl. Now you can just really relax, do some self-care. What are you going to be doing tonight for your self-care?
Honestly, nothing. And I'm really excited.
Oh,
about
I love
it.
That.
I've
oh
had
my
a
gosh.
Busy week.
Yeah, that's like never you, is doing nothing. So I'm so happy you're doing nothing.
Yeah, I'm excited. How about you?
Okay, I really, really want to go to the store after this because I want to. I've been craving making bang bang shrimp today. I just like really want to make bang bang
That
shrimp,
sounds
obviously
so
gluten
good.
free, you know? So, after we get off, I hear Raj cooking right now and I'm about to just tell him, please stop because I cannot eat what he's making. I mean, I'll eat it, but I'm really craving bang bang shrimp. So, like, whatever, even if he's making like Italian food, I don't care that it doesn't go with bang bang shrimp. I'm gonna eat it. So, I'm really excited. Yeah, that's my plan. And then maybe just like watch something on Netflix. Did you see that Love is Blind 3 is out? I don't
I
really know like
did.
how I feel about it. I don't know if I want to watch it, but I kind of feel like too into the Love is Blind saga that I should watch it.
Yeah, I'm probably gonna watch it. I'm not gonna lie. I was really into Love is Blind season two.
Yeah, it was just a wild ride for that. So I just kind of wonder now. Okay, this is actually this is just a random thought. This is not related to our podcast at all. So heads up. I wonder now if people go on these TV shows for clout. I kind of feel like they do. I read this thing that was like, why did all the Love is Blind 1 people like stay together and Love is Blind 2 nobody stayed together? And someone's theory was like, I feel that people are now going on these reality TV shows for clout. So obviously, I don't know people's intentions, but it kind of takes it away from me. Like, I know that it's reality TV, but I want people to like be real and authentic and find love. Like, it's hard now that I'm like, oh, are you going on to be famous and it's not being authentic? Because I obviously want people authentic on there.
I know it's kind of unfortunate, like as more like seasons start to happen, like people realize like what the fame you get from it and stuff. And
Yeah.
so it is unfortunate because yeah, I'm sure a lot of people don't go on there with the best of intentions. Like we're on season three now. Like maybe people are like, oh yeah, I'll go on and like be in a like not in a fake relationship, but maybe not be genuine in that relationship. And
Yeah.
that's kind of hard to like see happen.
Totally. Yeah. So, I mean, if anybody else is watching Love is Blind season three, let us know your thoughts. But appreciate you all listening. I hope that this was helpful for you, and we will see you next week.
Can't wait. See you guys next time.
Bye.
Bye. Thank you for tuning into another episode of Conversations Brewing. We hope you take some moments to reflect on our episode with some coffee in hand. New episodes of Conversations Brewing come out on Tuesdays.
We'd love to hear from you about what resonated with you and what you want to hear more about. So let us know on Instagram at our account at Conversations Brewing. If this episode was helpful, please leave us a 5-star review wherever you listen to your podcast and continue to tune in weekly.
We so appreciate your support and we'll brew some conversations with you next week.